beautiful. Okay, let's quickly turn to Perek Beis. So now this is still the second part. Let me give you this mitzvah, Kohanim. This is what you should do. I'm telling the Kohanim, it has to start from the top. The Kohanim have to be the best examples. Kohanim are usually very wealthy, right? The Kohanim are the ones with all the gifts and all the 24 gifts. And you guess what? They only work 1 or 2 weeks a year. Right? They have their mishmaros, and they're all serving, you know, this base of mikdash, but they're really not working so much. So the Kohanim are very wealthy, and we all know what a chilul Hashem, the Kohanim, and even the Kohen Gadols ended up being at the end of Bayis Sheni. There were 360 Kohen Gadols in a short period of time. They were practically every year exchanging. Right? So they were buying somewhere, and even Kohanim. So Malachi is really giving us the future, the next few hundred years. Set it up. The Kohanim must be a good example. And even for a short period where the Kohanim did fulfill some of Zechariah's prophecies with respect to the Hanukkah story, but it went sour very fast because they ruled. Kohanim are not supposed to rule. A descendant of Yehuda is supposed to rule. And those rulers, i.e. Chashmonaim, ended up turning very bad. Aristobulus and John Hyrcanus and those guys are very bad. Yanai, and you know, so this was very, very, very a turn away from the promise of what these prophecies could have led to, because the Kohanim didn't come up with it. Okay, so Hashem says, and I'm just going to now paraphrase in the next few psukim, is that Hashem says the korbanos you bring, the things you bring to my temple, the way you're behaving, is not in any way fulfilling the original covenant I thought to have with my people. And the covenant I made further with a certain part of my people, namely the sons of Aharon, the Kohanim. Okay? Look at Pasuk Vav. So it is so perfectly set up to learn this message from Malachi. We're doing Pasuk Vav right now. Because the idea that you should only learn with someone who is mamish like a malach, if he's like an angel, comes from these psukim. Let's see. Torah's emes ha'isabafihu. This is what I want from my Kohanim. I want him to speak true Torah. Is there something called false Torah? Right? The Gemara in Maseches Sukkah asks us about Torah's Chesed. Is there Torah that's not Shal Chesed? Torah's Chesed Alashona, remember? So we can give a whole shiur on this itself, the difference between Torah's Chesed and Torah's Emes.
Well, it refers to the last parrot before, that, you know, you want to steal a little up so you can eventually
Excellent, fits very nicely. This, you know, you can say, well, I'm doing the mitzvah. Yeah, but it's a mitzvah habab avera. Right? Now, there is something called esei docha lo saseh. A positive commandment can sometimes punch out a negative commandment. How that is different than a mitzvah habab avera, you know, let the positive commandment of shaking luv and esrog push away the negative commandment of thou shalt not steal, right? It's a technical issue as well, but this in here it fits very well with the previous chapter. A Torah where you say, well, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah, yeah, but how did you get to fulfill that mitzvah? What are you doing along the way? Who are you stepping on when doing this mitzvah? Right? Then that's not Torah's emes. Torah Sheker.
Or giving tzedakah, for instance, the point of getting respect and honor.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's not full emes. Okay. There's no abomination. The only truth on his lips. He speaks his heart and his mouth is one. He only speaks peace. He speaks Mishor, Yashar. I would turn your attention to the introduction of the Netziv to Bereishis, where he speaks about the difference between a Yashar and a Tzaddik. He says a Yashar is much greater than the Tzaddik. Yosher is someone who is on a straight path, and he's able to see the different opinions without calling them Rishaim, just because you have a different approach than I do. Right? Rabim Heshiv Me Avon. He tries to get people to turn away from Avon. But the way the Kohanim are today, people look at them and say, this is what the Kohanim are, I want no part of Judaism at all. They're confusing the messenger with the message, and the messenger is ruining the message. Right? Very famous pasuk. Because people love Judaism because of the way he lives. The Gemara in Yuma says, how do we love Hashem? by making Hashem beloved by your actions. People look at you and say, oh, look how that person acts. He's doing that because he's a Ben Torah. As opposed to other people who turn away from Torah, they represent Torah, and it's a Chil Hashem, of course. Gemara asks, give an example, because if you take food on credit, you don't pay up on time. That's a Chil Hashem. Imagine what else we might give as an example. But the point is that this Kohen has to serve as someone who people look at his actions and say, oh, I want that too. Yivak shumi piyu. Ki malach Hashem tzvokosu, because he's an angel of Hashem. The Gemara in Chagiga and Moed Katan look at some examples like Elisha ben Avuya, who taught Rabbi Meir. He said, how can someone such a heretic be quoted in Halacha? He's quoted in Pirkei Avos, right? So the two Gemaras give actually two different answers. It's a question of whether you can eat the fruit and spit out the pit and differentiate between what he has to teach that's good and what he has to teach that's bad. But that's only if you're a Rabbi Meir. The Rambam Paskins in the Gemara that no one should learn from a Torah personality who is not a Malach Hashem Tzvokos. Now, who is a Malach after all? You know what we mean. Who's not an upright specimen of morality. If the person has questionable morality, he's holding out on giving his wife a get, Chas V'Shalom, or some other question. Now, there are always two sides to every story, you can say, but some things don't have two sides. Right? And if this person is not serving such an example, and this, the Gemara says, "Harchek min akior umin adomelo," stay away from disgusting things and things that you can even interpret as such. Okay. You have to be very careful how these accusations come out. I don't chas v'shalom mean to say that everyone who has ever been accused has been guilty, but we should be beyond reproach. Okay. All right, so this is the very famous pasuk about what the Kohen should be. One sort of drash that a malach is someone that can't get higher. Malach has to stay in a straight line, can't get lower either. So a Rebbe who wants to teach and get higher himself while teaching is not a good Rebbe. The Rebbe has to make the students get higher. Right? The Rebbe, while giving shiur, has to stay on a level plane. When you're preparing the shiur, then prepare for some. But the Rebbe who only wants to give the deepest Torah that one out of 30 students is getting is not a malach. Malach has to stay level. Stay level when you're giving the shiur. On your own, when you're learning, you get higher. But when you're a teacher, stay level. Bring up the kids. Bring up the students. Okay? All right. Ches. V'atem sartem in aderech, hichshaltem rabim batorah. You have turned away from the derech. These are terrible words. Hichshaltem rabim batorah. These are the three saddest words in the Tanakh. Hichshaltem rabim batorah. It's one thing to bring people off the path, to be a michshol to people. But to do so representing Torah? What can be more disgusting than that? You hear it? All right, so you must be a good example. Shichatem b'ris ha-Levi, Amar Hashem Tzvokos. The Kohanim have destroyed the bris of Levi. Think of it, the people who escaped from Yerushalayim to go to live in Qumran in the caves, they write in their writings, we came to escape the unjust Kohanim. Right? I'm not saying that what they did themselves was right either. They were mistamba at the Essenes, and they didn't have Torah Shebaal Peh, we see from their writings. But they were very pietistic. Right? They weren't there long, but they see that they were against the excesses of the Kohanim in Yerushalayim, and rightly so. Look, Yochanan ben Zakkai's decision to choose Yavna over Yerushalayim was not just willy-nilly because I'm afraid that if I ask for Yerushalayim, I won't even get that. Gemara in Gittin finds blame with him, turning away from Yerushalayim. But it seems to be a conscious decision. Torah has to take over now because the Mikdash with the Kohanim, the mostly taken over by the Tzedukim at that time, has become corrupt. And right now, we have to support the Torah world in Yavne more than the Kohanic world in Yerushalayim. Because of what it had become, foretold right here by Malachi, already started then. Pasuk Yud. Halo avichod lekulanu. Okay, now we're starting the third topic. There's one father for all of us. What taina is this? What claim is this? Who makes a claim? We all come from the same father. Intermarriage. If I say there's something wrong with intermarriage, you say, why? We're all the children descendants of Adam Arishon. Why shouldn't I marry this person? Right? In some circles in Israel, you try to explain to them why it's important to marry a Jewish person. Right? I once spoke to someone who very secular in Israel, but they said, you know, if my child marries an Arab, I'll kill them. Right? So I said, you know, you sound racist to me. Why don't you want your child to marry an Arab? The answer should be, because if my child marries an Arab, they won't be keeping the Torah. The Jew has a covenant to keep the Torah with God. Marry someone who will not be any impediment to keeping God's bris. That's only a Jew. To put Jews in the world is so that we can serve Hashem in Torah. Right? Any other excuse for not marrying we don't want to appear racist. Adrabah. We're the only major religion in the world that feels that you don't have to be in our system to have eternal bliss in the afterlife. Chassidi umus ha'olam yesh lan chelek la'olam haba. Prophets throughout Tanakh are telling us in Zechariah, the end of Zechariah, chapter 14, that God's graces spread itself over all the nations. Right? They don't have to keep 613 mitzvahs, they just have to keep 7 mitzvahs. We don't want everyone to keep Shabbos. We need Shabbos goyim. We need someone to run the generators. Right? Maybe a Christian wants everyone in the world to be Christian. A Muslim wants everyone in the world to be a Muslim. Jews don't want everyone to be Jewish, because we believe that we want everyone to have salvation. We want everyone to keep 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And halavai, matovim anoyim, if you can convince me that you want to keep another 606, gematria rus, and I'll teach you the other mitzvahs too and become Jewish. But I'm going to dissuade you first. Anyway, they say we all have one father. Halo elechod bira'anu. One God created us. Why are you telling me we shouldn't be? Why are you telling us that we? Imagine that. Imagine the way the people are talking there. They knew all the answers then. The problem of intermarriage was rampant because of the Jews. The Jewish men were in Babylonia, and as it continues to be to this day, Nebuch, it's the Jewish men looking after non-Jewish women. It's hardly ever the opposite. Right? You hear? So Malachi is about to speak about what this does to the poor Jewish women. Let's see it shortly, right? So, plus the Jewish women at this time were starved, they were gone, they were exiled, they weren't living in their land. And beautiful Babylonian women, right? Remember Achashverosh said, Vashti, she's Babylonian, she's prettier than all the Medes and the Persians, right? So the Jewish men behaved then like, you know, Jewish men, similar to Jewish men in America. Oh, we've arrived on the scene in America. If we can get accepted to the country club, the college, and marry out. Disgusting. Right? But this is what was happening in the time of Malachi. But I must tell you, if it's guided by anything but a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, we don't want to be called racist either. I don't like the someone who says, I don't want to marry a non-Jew, but I also don't want to be religious. I don't have good things to say about that person either. Right? I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but at least stay married to a Jew, in the very least. But it shouldn't be for a chas v'shalom, a racist reason. It should be for Torah reason. Okay. Bogdo Yehuda v'toivon esesab Yisrael. Now Yehuda is called Bogdo in feminine, right? They made a terrible abomination in Israel. Yerushalayim. Now, here is talking about, this is not just about Zara, this is by the intermarriage. You see the metaphor. The intermarriage is like committing adultery with other gods, and you're taking all these other women. First of all, what does that mean to all the Jewish women? You will have no descendants, no Jewish descendants. None of your descendants will have anything to do with me. Bring me gifts. This is another thing that you're doing, besides your sinfulness in the other women. I want nothing to do with your kavanos if this is how you behave. Like Malachi's style, and you say, why? Why won't you accept my gifts? Because I look at the way you're treating the Jewish women. Look at how the women of your own bris that you have turned against, that you have despised. Right? Between you and Eishes Nerecha. What is this pasuk talking about? So Bravanel says that it's talking about these Jewish men are married to Jewish women. And what do they do? In addition to the Jewish wives, they take Babylonian wives. And then they disregard the Jewish wives. And the Jewish wives are chained. They're agunos, like almanut chayut. They're widows of living husbands. They pay no attention to them, and they're only paying attention to the Babylonian women. Look at the women. She's your chaverta, right? It's not just one terrible thing you're doing, it's two terrible things. You're having children with the Babylonian women, and you're not having children with the Jewish women. Right? There's no Zera Elokim. Right? Listen to your spirit. Don't turn, don't be a traitor to the women from your people. Ki sonei shalach. The Yerushalmi says that this means the end of Maseches Gittin says that in the Bavli says that God hates divorce. The Yerushalmi says ki sonei shalach, that actually divorce is forbidden to Bnei Noach because of this pasuk. The Torah allows for divorce, obviously, but the pshat of this pasuk, as Abravanel says, ki sonei shalach. If you hate her, divorce her so she can at least marry a Jewish man who will pay attention to her. But don't stay married to the Jewish woman while marrying on top of her other Babylonian women and disregarding them. Ki sonei shalach. If you hate her, free her. She doesn't have to be an aguna. Mar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Chiso chamos al vusho mar Hashem Tzvakos. There's violence here in the way you treat the Jewish women. Nishmartem bruchachem velotiv godu. Listen to your spirit. Guard your spirit. Do not turn to be treacherous. Hogatem Hashem b'divrechem v'amartem b'mahoganu. This is a new parsha now. Right? So this fourth parsha starts to talk about the end of days. Okay? So the sees that God is tired of you. He goes, in what way? Be'emachem kolo seira tov be'enei Hashem uvahem huchafetz uvayei Hashem elokei ha-mishpat. By you keep claiming that everything you're doing is fine. Sounds like Shaul HaMelech. Baruch atol Hashem, akimosi es devar Hashem. You see nothing wrong. You listen to the prophet telling you this, and most of you say there's nothing wrong here. Amazing.